All right, guys, welcome to the Saluda Baptist Church Youth Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Brandon, and thank you for joining us as we recap this week in our youth ministry here at Saluda Baptist Church. And so on our podcast each week, we go over the scripture that we are going through each week in our Bible study for our youth, and we have been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And this week, we are finishing up going through this Sermon of Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount, it goes all the way through Matthew chapter 5, all the way through Matthew chapter 7. It starts in Matthew 5, and we are finally going to be looking at the last section of this sermon in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 24 through 29. Now, when we come to this section, in all of the Sermon on the Mount in general, not just in chapter 7, but Jesus, in all the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is seeking to teach his disciples what it looks like to be a part of God's kingdom. And when we come to chapter 7, Jesus begins in the latter part of chapter 7. He begins to give some illustrations of what it looks like to be a part of God's kingdom, and then what it looks like to not be a part of God's kingdom. So starting in verse 13, in verses 13 and 14, Jesus gives the illustrations of a narrow gate and a wide gate, a narrow gate of life, and then a wide gate of destruction. In verses 15 through 20, we see Jesus gives an illustration of a good tree that has fruit, and then a bad tree that is fruitless. And in verses 21 through 23, Jesus gives an illustration of a genuine confession of someone that is obedient to Christ, and then a false profession of someone that is disobedient. And in this section, in verses 24 through 29, Jesus is going to give an illustration of two foundations, of someone that builds a foundation on rock, and then someone that builds their foundation on sand. And in each of these illustrations, Jesus is trying to show the difference in choosing the right way, that there is a right way, that there's a way that God wants us to live, that Jesus is pointing us to and being a part of God's kingdom. And then there is a wrong way. There's a way that leads to life. And there's a way that leads to destruction. There's a way that produces fruit in our lives. And there's also a way that we can live that doesn't produce any fruit. There's a way that we can live and be obedient. And there's another way that we can be disobedient. And in verses 24 through 29, we see that there is a way to wisdom. There is a way to have a good foundation for our life. And there is also a way of foolishness, a way of not having a good foundation for our life. And really, what we need to ask ourselves when coming to this section in verses 24 through 29 of chapter 7 is, what are we building our life on? What are we choosing to be the foundation to build everything else that is in our life on? What are we building our life on? Each of us are building our lives on something or around things, right? It might not be one thing. It could be family, friends. It could be a career. People choose many different things to build their life around, to focus their life on, to build their life on. And what Jesus wants us to think about is, what are we building our life on? And that's why when we get to this section, verses 24 through 29, Jesus is going to give an illustration of two people that choose two very different foundations. And Jesus is going to be pointing us to the right foundation, and he's also going to be pointing us to what that represents. And so as we come to this section, I like looking at verses 28 and 29 first before we back up and look at verses 24 through 27. And the reason I like to do that will become clear. So starting in verse 28, it says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes." Now, the reason I like to start here is because, as I said, each of us is building our lives on something. Each of us has a foundation that we are building our lives around. And one of the biggest things that molds and shapes our life, our decision making, is authority. It is the people in our lives that we look at as authority figures, and even ourselves as ultimately our authority figure, the one that we go to most, you know, for these authoritative type decisions. We usually go to ourselves. But, you know, you may have bosses, you may have coaches, you may have teachers, you may have parents. We all have parents. We all have people in our lives that are authoritative. And so authority is what molds and shapes our life. It's what molds and shapes our decisions. And when it comes to us being our own authority, I think there's four things that we can look at that are the main shapers of how we make decisions and looking at that authority. And first, I think, is, you know, our own reason, right? When we come to make a decision, and even if we're listening to teachers or parents or bosses or pastors or whatever the case may be, ultimately, when we're looking at making a decision, we're looking at laying a foundation for our lives. One thing I think we always fall back to is our own reason, or what I think about a situation. Two is our experience. So maybe it's not what I think, but experience would be what I feel. Sometimes we go off of what we feel over a boss, a coach, a teacher, a parent. So maybe it's not what I think, maybe it's not what I feel, but it could be our own traditions. It could be, I've always done this, and that is what is authoritative in our life. And so I think three of these big authoritative things in our lives are, I think, I feel, I've always done. Those are big authority type things in how we make our own decisions and how we mold and shape our own life. I think, I feel, I've always done. And what Jesus is presenting in this section, in verses 24 through 29, is not reason, not experience, not tradition as the authority of our life, but revelation. Revelation is God says in His Word, and that is what is the authority. That is what we base our life on. That is what we build the foundation on. And so I like starting with verses 28 and 29, because we see here that it says, after he's finished this sermon, the crowds were astonished. They were amazed at all that Jesus had just taught in this sermon and how he was teaching them the difference in God's kingdom versus the kingdom of hell, the kingdom of Satan. And how the world is living, he's teaching them, hey, this is what God's kingdom looks like. And they were amazed. They were astonished. And the reason was because he was teaching like one who had authority. Because Jesus has all the authority. Jesus is the only one that has the authority to tell us how to live. And so when you think about what are you building your life on, hey, what are these two foundations? Jesus is the only one with the authority to tell us what should be our foundation. He's the only one with the authority to tell us how we need to live. Not what I think, not what I feel, not what I have always done, not what my parent, teacher, coach, boss, whatever, but Jesus. Jesus is the one with the authority to tell us how to live our lives. And I think that's important. And I think it comes after, you know, this illustration of Jesus for a reason, because one, it's capping all of the Sermon on the Mount as, you know, saying, hey, Jesus is teaching with this authority. But I think even this illustration of the two foundations comes right at the end, because Jesus is trying to show the importance of listening to him. And so he's trying to get us to see, hey, one, we need to listen to him. He's going to give us very specific reasons why. And he's reminding us, you need to listen to me, not just because of X, Y, and Z, but because I'm the one with the authority. So ultimately, what are you building your life on? Jesus is the only one that has that authority to tell us and to show us and to direct us in how we should live our lives and what we should build our lives on. And so knowing that, seeing that authority of Jesus, knowing that only he has that authority, when we move into verse 24 and we begin to look at this illustration that Jesus gives here, is going to paint a even more clear picture of what Jesus is trying to say. So as the only one with authority, in verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, Jesus is saying here, the first foundation is a rock. It's something that is solid. It is a sure foundation that is going to be sturdy. It is going to be something you can build a house that will last on. That's what the rock represents. And it also says here that the one who builds their house on the rock is like a wise man. So there is wisdom. The rock, the foundation of rock, represents someone that is building their life in wisdom on something, right? Well, what is that thing? Well, it says everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So it's hearing the words of Jesus. So in this sermon, Jesus authoritatively telling us how we should live as being a part of God's kingdom, hearing the word of God, hearing the teachings of Jesus, and then acting on them. So what is the wise foundation? What is the foundation that is built on the rock? It's hearing and acting upon what Jesus is teaching and calling us to do. And that becomes even more powerful when we read that in light of the fact that Jesus is the one with authority. He is the one that can tell us how to live. He's the only one that has that authority. And so if we hear it and we act on it, that is wisdom. And that is us building our life on the true foundation, on the rock. And then he contrasts that. And so if we skip to verse 26, verse 26 says, but everyone who hears these words, so we have here again, who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So the sand represents foolishness, but further than that, it represents, if the rock is being obedient and following what God is calling us to do and living the way he wants us to live, the sand represents disobedience and not living the way that Jesus is commanding us to live, not recognizing his authority in our life. And really, it's building that foundation, building our life, not on Jesus and what he tells us, but on ourselves. Go back to the I think, I feel. I've always done it this way. It's building our life on what we want. And ultimately, looking at these two different foundations, we have one that is built on Christ, on what he is teaching, his authority, and then one that is on ours. One that is on what we want, what we feel, what we think, what the world says. One is wisdom, one is foolishness. One is the rock, and one is the sand. And then Jesus is going to not only tell us the difference in these foundations, but then in verse 25, after he talks about the rock, he says, the rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. So rain, the river rose, all of these things came and happened to this house that was built on the rock. You know, the winds, the rivers, the rain. But it didn't collapse because it was on the right foundation. But then we see in verse 27, talking about the house built on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew, and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. So in both of these different illustrations, the house that was built on the rock and the house that was built on the sand, it faced rain, it faced the rivers rising, it faced great winds blowing and pounding on the house. It didn't matter, hey, which one, they both faced these things. But only the house built on the rock stood. Now, I think it's important to notice that these things, the rain, the wind, the rivers rising, they didn't just affect the house that wasn't built on Christ, on his teaching. It affected both. So building our life on the teachings of Christ, on his authority, in building our life on the way that he is directing us to live, it's not promising that we are going to have the easiest life. It is not promising that everything that happens to us is going to be great, that we're just going to live this great, amazing, happy life if we build our life on Christ and nothing bad is ever going to happen. That is not what building our life on the foundation of Jesus means, because the house built on the rock still faced the wind, the rain, the rivers, but it didn't collapse. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, building your life on him, submitting to his authority for your life, does not mean you're never going to face difficulties. It doesn't mean that you're never going to get that diagnosis that you have an illness that can't be cured. It doesn't mean that you're not going to lose people that you love. It doesn't mean that you're not going to lose a job or that you're going to struggle to even pay the bills. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have people that you care about that you have broken relationships. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face any of those things. But what Jesus is saying here is that when those things do come, when the wind comes, when the rain comes, when the rivers start to rise, when your life is built on Jesus and built on living the way that he is calling us to live, even when all those things happen, you're still going to stand. Versus someone that builds their life on, I've always done it this way. This is what the world is telling me. This is what everyone says, hey, this is how you're going to make the most money. This is how you're going to be happy. The people that are building their life on what they want and what the world is telling them and what everyone else is telling them and not on what Jesus says, when they get that diagnosis, when that loved one gets sick, when that loved one passes away, when they have difficulties in their relationships in their lives, when they lose a job, when it's difficult to pay bills, when those things happen to the person that's building their life on themselves, that's when their house will collapse. And not only does Jesus say it will collapse, but that it's going to collapse with a great crash. Jesus is trying to remind us that what he is teaching us, what he is showing his disciples, what he's demonstrating through the Sermon on the Mount, being a part of God's kingdom, being a part of something that is greater than just being in this world, it is not promising us that we're going to have the easiest time in this world. But what it is promising is that what we are a part of will stand. It's not just temporary. It's not just right now, you know, the things that we can get in this life, that's not all that it is. Because Jesus is promising us something that is going to stand no matter what it is that we face. It's going to last because it's built on the right foundation. And so for us, we have to make a choice on what we're going to build our life on. Are we going to build our life on the sand, on what we think, on what we feel, on what we've always done, on what, you know, everyone around us is telling us, on what the world says? Or are we going to build our life on Jesus, on what he says, on his authority, on how he tells us we should live in this world? And if we choose that, that's when we have wisdom, and that's when we're building on something that is going to last forever. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 20, that Jesus is the cornerstone, that he is the thing that holds everything together. And so when we build our life on him, we're not building it on temporary things, on things that won't last forever. What we're building our life on Jesus, who faced death, who died, who rose from the dead, who conquered death, who is still alive at the right hand of the Father, who is going to come back for us. We are putting our foundation in him, in how he has directed us to live through his word, through his teachings. We're putting that as our foundation. We're putting our trust in his authority. And that is something that will stand and will last forever. So ultimately, we have to remember this one thing that Jesus is teaching us here. Being obedient to him, so hearing and acting on it, is essential to anyone that wants to follow Jesus, and for anyone that wants to be wise and not foolish. We need to obey God's word, to obey his teaching. Now, we don't obey because we want to be accepted. We don't obey because we want to be loved. We don't obey because we want to be saved. We obey because we trust the one that has saved us. Because Jesus has died on the cross, because he has risen from the grave, because he is at the right hand of the Father, because he will come back for us, because he has saved us and is continuing to save us and is continuing to sanctify and change us and make us more and more like him. Because he has done all those things, that is why we obey him. And that obedience is essential for us. It's essential not because, you know, we need to obey him to prove that we love him so that he'll love us. We obey him out of the love that we have for him. Jesus says, if we love him, we will obey his commands. And so it's out of love. We don't obey because we want him to love us. We obey because he loves us. And because he loves us, we get to love him. We love him because he's lovely. We love him because he deserves to be loved. He's lovable. You look at Jesus and who he is and what he's done and what he continues to do for us, and you can't help but love him. And out of that love, we obey. And in our obedience, we are practicing wisdom. And in our obedience, we are showing that we truly are following Jesus, and we are building our lives on that firm foundation, on the rock that is going to last forever. Because the only foundation that will not crumble is Christ. Anything else that we try to build our life on is going to fall. You try to build your life on a relationship, relationships don't last forever. Even if it's dating or you're married, one day someone isn't going to be there anymore. one day someone's going to pass away. So if my life, my foundation for my life is built on my relationship with Micah, neither one of us are promised to live tomorrow. And so, you know, if the unthinkable happens and she were to pass away, if that's what I build my life on, then my life falls apart. But if I build my life on Christ, on the rock, if the unthinkable happens and she were to pass away, my life doesn't fall apart. The house doesn't crumble because my foundation isn't her, but it's him. Whether that's friends, whether that's a job, whether that's sports, friends can move away. We can lose our jobs. You can get injured to the point that you can't, you know, you can't do the sport that you love anymore. When we make that those things the foundation of our life, when those things are gone, our life crumbles. But what Jesus, and Jesus is saying that's foolishness. But when we build our life on Jesus, on following his commands, on following him, on being obedient to him, out of our love for him, that is when we build our lives on the rock, on what's going to stand and last forever. And it's interesting that this comes at the very end of this entire sermon, of how Jesus has challenged us time after time to be different, to not just look at our outward actions, but to look at our hearts, to make the hard choices. And it comes right at the end on, are we going to hear and act? Are we going to build our life out of the authority of Jesus, on his teaching and following him and making following him the foundation of our life? And so we have to ask ourselves, and all that we've learned throughout going through this Sermon on the Mount, all that we've heard, are we going to trust Jesus as the authority and act and make that the foundation? And that's the choice that Jesus is leaving each and every one of us with. Are we going to choose to hear and act and be wise and build our lives on the foundation that will stand? Are we going to choose to hear and not act and be foolish? Because only Jesus has the true authority to tell us and show us how to live. So that is the Sermon on the Mount. I hope that this journey has blessed you. I hope you've learned some things. I know I have, and you know this is definitely a passage to continue to read, to reread, and read again, because Jesus really is showing us and demonstrating, hey, we are called to be more. Being a part of God's kingdom, he's calling us to be more. And so this really is something we can continue to learn and apply to our lives and grow. And so I encourage you, you know, don't just say, hey, now, yeah, I made it. We've done it. Check. But keep going back. Listen to what Jesus is trying to teach us and show us what that foundation is supposed to be. So I hope this has blessed you. I'm sad that we've come to an end of going through the Sermon on the Mount, but here in a couple weeks, we're going to start a new series. So next week, we will not have a podcast. Our Wednesday night Bible study is going to be a little bit of a review. We're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount and kind of do a review. So we won't have a formal lesson. It's going to be more of just reviewing the entire sermon and just kind of talking about things that we've learned along this journey. So we won't have a podcast next week. But the following week, we will, as we begin our new series. So hopefully you will join us then. Thank you. I hope this is being a help for you, and look forward to seeing you guys next time. So God bless.